tears in heaven. You know, I believe with all my heart that some people do not understand what that means. You will hear them make statements as, these are tears of joy. This is what I am going to be doing in heaven. I honestly believe what the Bible says. It said, no tears in heaven. We will be joyful by no means, but we will be in the presence of our God, there with Jesus, there with the Holy Ghost, and with all the other faithful that will make it in. That is a joyous occasion. And on this evening, I want to talk to you on the subject of what it means to be a servant. What it means to be a servant. Some people do not know how to serve, and it's really and truly sad, because we are servants of the Most High, understanding that our Lord, our Savior, He came to this earth in order to serve our God, as the scripture was read earlier, and we will go back over that scripture in a moment. But our God, our Lord, our Savior, being there in the very beginning, understood what the Father wanted Him to do, and He came and did exactly that. He came to this earth in order to serve the people, His disciples. And we find it hard even today to serve one another. You know, we'd much rather be served than to serve. We need to change that attitude. No matter how big the job is, no matter how small the job is, no matter what the other person require of you or request of you, we should be honored to serve them. You hear statements such as, I would never do that. Ooh, if my mom, dad, sister, brother get down, I wouldn't do those things. You would want someone to do it for you. Why not do it for them? Jesus came to serve. Christians are servants of God. Colossians chapter 1 and the verses 7. Colossians chapter 1 and the verses 7. As ye also learned of Ephesus, our dearly fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Fellow servant. Paul is saying He's a servant just like we are. We're in fellowship together with this thing. A fellow servant in the Lord. Not outside of Christ, but in Christ. 4, verse 7. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. All my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. So we have fellow servants in the Lord. We're servants one of another, and we're working and in this thing together. No one can say, I'm doing all this by myself. So if you see something need to be done, do it. See someone that needs to be helped, help them. You see a Bible study that needs to be conducted, conduct it. These things God is pleased with because we are servants of the Most High. Phoebe, a fellow servant, again, of the church in Romans chapter 16, verse 1. Romans chapter 16, verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of Christ, which is in Caesarea. Servant of Christ. A servant of the church. We got many brethren that are servants and are pleased to be servants. And we have other brethren that just don't want to serve. What is the problem? The problem lies within understanding what our responsibility is. The problem lies with understanding and having that love for God and for His fellow children that we should. We are servants of God. Then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 25. I'd be pleased, you know, for someone to say, you are my servant in the Lord, or you are a servant in the church. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Servant of the Lord, this is how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. This is the fashion in which we should present ourselves as being someone that God can say, I am pleased with your service. You are my child. You are my children. I love what you're doing, and I want you to continue to do all that you can do for one another. Thus, should be an humble servant. This is how we should be. A servant of the Most High. Humble servants. Humble servants. As we go through this lesson and look at what a servant is supposed to do and what our attitudes is supposed to show unto others, we may have to do some adjusting. We may have to go back and do some examination of ourselves to make sure that our service is pleased unto God and that no one can say anything with having truth about our service, that they're always glad to see us coming, never want us to go because we are there to serve them. This is the way it should be. Understanding humility. Understanding humility. Our God is the most, when I say our God here, I'm talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the most humility person that we have ever read about in the Scriptures. No one can match what Jesus Christ came to this earth to do. No matter how hard we try, yes, He is our great example, but no matter how hard we try, we will never measure up to what Christ came to do. He went to the cross and gave His life so that you and I may be able to live. And we're glad about that. We're happy about that. We're pleased about that. We're honored by His servitude. But what are we doing? What are we doing? Let's get an understanding what a servant means. To be humble, marked by meekness or modesty in behavior, attitude or spirit, not arrogant or proudful, showing a deferential or submissive respect. Humble apology. You know, sometimes when we say we're sorry about something, a lot of times our attitudes show that we're really not sorry about that. We need to be humble. Low in rank, quality, or station, unpretentious or lowly, a humble cottage. You know, there it sits, all by its lonesome. See, we need to understand what God wants us to be. And as we become what He wants us to be, we need to stay in that state. Humbled. To curtail or destroy, to proud of. Humiliate. To cause or to be meek or modest in spirit. To give a lower condition or station to abase. I'm willing to take the lower seat in order for you to be uplifted. See, that's what becoming an humble servant would do for you. But if we, as a people, we always want to be on top. Christ, He was not like that. Yes, where is He now? He's sitting on the right hand of the Father because that is a position that God has given to Him because of His attitude when He was down here upon this earth. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. You can write these verses down. We're just going to say the word that's there. Lowly. Luke chapter 1, verse 52. Low in degree. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Talks about low estate. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6, it's talking about cast down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, it's talking about base. James 4 and 6, low degree. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, an humble. You know, when you look at this word, humble, and you look at the different ways that it's described, you can see where you are. You can tell the type of attitude you have yourself without anybody ever saying anything. And that's the way it's supposed to be. When you find yourself that you don't never want to be lowly anymore or be thought of in a low degree or humble yourself or be cast down or based or to be humble just period, I'm telling you it's time to change. It's time to do some adjusting. It's time to make sure that we are who God wants us to do. We need to tune up. We need to get back to the Scriptures and we need to start studying the Scriptures to make sure that we are who God wants us to be, who He has called us to be. We're called to be His children. We're not called to be equal with Him. We're called to be His children. We're not called to be equal to anybody or above anybody else in the church. We're called to be brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And when we're baptized, that's what it does. It puts us in the church and it makes us on the same playing field with everybody else. But what we have to do at that time, we have to understand when it's time for you to take the lower road. And allow this person to take the higher road or the lower seat and allow this person to take the higher seat. They're not uplifting themselves. We are uplifting one another. Look at some synonyms and antonyms of this word. Lowly, abased, cast down, unpretentious, unassertive, meek. Look at the difference here. Arrogant. Can't tell him nothing. Proud. Always walking around with your chest stuck out. Defiant. Wow. You know, when we look at these antonyms of this word humble, where do you find yourself? Lofty, haughty, overbearing, snobbish. You know, we don't like Christians like that, do we? The reason we don't like Christians like that or like to see anybody like this is because this is not what we read in the Scriptures that God's children should be. But we have individuals that fall into this right side that never want to move over to the left side because they always want to be seen. They always want to be out front. Only time it's good to be out front is when you're out there running a race trying to get a ribbon or a trophy or something like that. You know, you got some people like that drive on the highway. They always want to get out front. They don't ever want anybody else to lead. I don't mind another man getting out there to lead because if the cops is down the road and they're speeding, they're the ones that's going to get pulled over. I like to drive the speed limit. I don't care if you pass by me. Moving up here, you know, a year and a half ago, I'm driving 55 miles an hour and all these cars, shoom, 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 shoom. Speed limit 70, yes. Couldn't drive 70. Pulling the load. I didn't mind that. But as we look and we see others, they never want to be behind anybody. But our Savior didn't mind being behind. He didn't mind doing the things that He done when He came here to this earth. We look at an example of humility. Example of humility. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. See, you want to know how to present yourself as being humble? How to show that you have humility? All you have to do is look in the Scriptures. You don't have to look any further but the Scriptures, God's book. 11:29. Come unto me, all ye that labor. I'm going to start with verse 28. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus didn't say here, you are meek and lowly in heart, did he? He says, I am. I am. I know how to serve you. I know how to take care of you. Allow me to do so. And when you allow Jesus to take care of you, you can't go wrong. It's better than your children trying to take care of you. It's better than your sisters or your brothers trying to take care of you when you allow God's Son to take care of you. It is okay. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He can handle anything that comes his way and he can make sure that what you're going through, that he can lighten your load for you. This is the type of Jesus, or this is the type of Savior, this is the type of the Christ that we serve. And we're glad to serve Him because He served others. He served others. What is He doing here? He's inviting you. You know, as you hear an invite, a lot of times you have to make sure you read it right now. You have to make sure that you understand what this invitation is all about. You have to make sure that when you accept the invitation, that you're ready for whatever is in store for you. So when you come to Jesus, you have to be willing to submit unto Him and to take whatever He has to offer. And trust me, He has a lot to offer. Given as a reason why one should be attracted or come. You know, when you read it, you know, what type of scenery do you see on that page in which you read? You know, you may get an invitation to a wedding. You may get an invitation to a party. You may get an invitation. You know, we look at some of the invites that we get to gospel meetings and we read those things that come back there. It's passed around through the elders, and every now and then I may get to see it unless I look at it on the board, unless it's something that Brother Shelton say, what you think about this thing right here? You know, we look at it and we just both start laughing, and he know what to do with that one. Because some of the invites, when we read them and we look at it, some of the things there may be very attractive to the eye, but once it really comes down to it, this is not the Lord's invitation. So we have to look at it. He is not harsh. He's not overbearing or oppressive. You know, when Jesus says, come unto Him, He says, now, you need to stop doing whatever you're doing and you need to come to Me right now. Otherwise, there's going to be some consequences that's going to have to be paid. Jesus is not like that. And we should not be like that in our invitation to others as well. One can easily obey Him. He's making it available. He said, you know, this is what you do. This is how you do it. And when you come, you'll find that it's so easy. There's nothing strenuous about it, because Jesus says, I am meek and lowly in heart. I am meek and lowly in heart. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. You know, when we really understand the Lord's invitation, we need to understand, why should we accept His invitation? Why should we accept it? You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm gonna invite all these people over, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, and you're willing to accept that invitation, but you realize that the person that you accept the invitation from, they're not willing to do anything. One of my good friends, you know, said a couple of 3-4 years ago, he said, you know, I'm going to have a barbecue, and he said, y'all come on over. He said, I have the matches. He said, you need to bring everything else. Jesus was not like that. Jesus gave His all. And when He gave His all because this is what the Father wanted Him to do. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We read from verse 1 down through verse 5, but let's read verse 5 down through 11 now. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself or Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That says a lot about humility. That Jesus, being with God, being there, you know, when we start talking about the Trinity, or we start talking about Jesus and God and the Spirit being one, and we look at that and we understand that they all had everything in common, not one of them. When Jesus came, He came to do the will of the Father. When the Holy Ghost came, He came to do the will of the Father. He did those things and they did those things because this is what the Father wanted them to do. But the latter two, they came in order to serve. Context, humility is essential to unity. We look at that in verses 1 through 4 again. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if in the bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye might be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, we can say so many things about this. You know, you may have the same thing. It may look the same. But is there something that you can say about somebody else's that they have just like yours that'll make them feel good? You know, you go out and you buy the same suit or you buy the same dress and y'all show up at the same party. And you look at that person look at you and you say, but it looks better on you. You know what that does for that person? That makes that person feel good. And then they look at you and then they go over there and they start gossiping about you. I can't believe she wore that dress. Oh, I'm sorry. Flashback to this morning. I'm sorry about that. But we have to understand we need to do some things in order to make others feel good about themselves. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost, said it well, didn't he? Are we able to do that? We need to urge, you know, to have the same mind. When we look at verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let it be in you. It can be. You know, again, we're not going to be able to say, you know, that's Christ right there. We're not going to be able to say that about any man. But we're going to be able to say, he's following the example of Christ. Look at his attitude. Listen to the things he says. Look at how he's esteeming others better than himself. Just look at him. Look at her. Philippians chapter 2, the humility of Jesus. It's so clear. Who he is. Who is Jesus? Jesus was here, there, in the very beginning. And as he was there in the very beginning, he was with the Father. And the Father said, let us make man in our own image. You don't hear, you don't read that I am going to create man and this is how I'm going to create him. You don't hear that, do you? You hear him say, let us make man in our own image. And how did he create them? Male and female. Who is he? He's equal with God. He's the form of God. So you see who he is. But as you read in Philippians chapter 2, what did he do? He became man. He became the form of a servant. He was obedient to the cross. Now, someone tell you, you know, this is what I need you to do in the morning. I need you to get up. And I need you to go down there, and the guiltiest man is going to be down there at court. I need you to take his place. We know he's guilty already. We know that he's going to get the death penalty, but I need you to take his place. How many of us are willing to get up and do that? How many? First off, we need to start considering some things. This is our attitude. I got a lot to do tomorrow. I need to go pay my house note. I need to go down there, and I need to do this. What we're doing is we're making excuses. Did Jesus make any excuses when the Father told him to go to the cross? Did Jesus make any excuses when he prayed in the garden, Father, if it be thy will, allow this cup to be removed from me? But if not my will be done, your will be done. Did he make any excuses when they took him? And when they stripped him, did he make any excuses? Did he make any excuses when they put him up on that cross? Did he make any? See, we need to think about that, the humility of Jesus. He did all of that for you and for me. He did that. But yet, we make excuses. And you know, I know I went to the extreme talking about going down there and taking someone's place that was going to be put on death, you know, going to be put to death for a crime they committed. But we don't want to take anybody's position for anything.
We don't want to trade places with them for anything because we don't want to go through what they're going through. We don't want to, you know, commit ourselves to doing something that someone else has already committed themselves to doing. Why? Why? Let's serve now. Jesus served. How come we can't serve? This is a little, some of you have experienced this before. You've come out of the denominational world where they washed each other's feet. But you know, when we start looking at our Savior here in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, we look at our lives even today, and some of us, I'm going to say us, I'm going to put myself in the same category. I don't want to point anybody out. Some of us don't even want to wash our wife's feet or our husband's feet. We don't want to do that. We don't want to touch them. You know, that's your feet. What you want me to do? I can tell you some things now, but I'm going to keep quiet. When it comes down to serving, again, how many of us are really ready to serve? Oh, my mom is getting sick. My dad is getting sick. And I'm not going to take care of them. I'm going to put them over here in this home. Have you ever visited in those homes? Have you ever seen the way they take care of those people? Have you ever, you know, went in there not in the hours of from 8 to 5, but have you went in there at night from 10 to 11 and see how sorry those people are? When we, as servants of God, are able to take care of our family members and we don't want to do that because it's a burden to us. Jesus didn't think it was a burden to wash the disciples' feet. He didn't think it was a burden. And when it really boiled down to it, we realized that Peter understood in the end what it meant to serve. We read from verses 1 down through 17 in John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And I'm just going to stop right there just for a moment. My life is coming to a close, and you expect me to serve you? It's all about me. That's our attitude sometimes. And that should not be your attitude. That should not be our attitude. The Bible says he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put on the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he raised from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. The attire of a servant. See, we don't want to wear the attire of a servant. We always want to look good before others. The Bible says after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, then this is us many times when we go into someone's home and we see what they're doing, and you know, we see the husband interacting with the wife and the things that they're doing, and we say, man, that's a good man. Or that's a good woman when she get up and she fix that man's plate, and other husbands got their eyes wide. And my wife don't do that. That's because you and your wife do not have a relationship the way you're supposed to have that relationship. Instead of her doing your feet or her fixing your plate, you should be fixing hers and washing her feet. Think about it. Christ, our Lord, the head of the church. And we say, well, we're the head of the house. Doesn't matter, does it? Look what Jesus did. Look what Jesus did. Then cometh to him, cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt not know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Attitude changed then. You don't have any part with me if you don't let me wash your feet. See, sometimes we have to understand why someone is doing what they're doing. He didn't fully explain all to Peter, but he said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. Lord, don't stop with my feet, but wash my head and my hands as well. And he said, Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needed not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know you not, or know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. That's who I am. I'm your Lord. I'm your Master. And if I did, your Lord and your Master have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Jesus, our greatest example of serving others. Can we serve the way Jesus served? Can we be the servants that we need to be? Jesus washed the disciples' feet, done with awareness of his exalted position. He understood who he was, but yet he still washed the disciples' feet, girded himself with a towel, dressed like a servant. You mean to tell me that's Jesus? This, you know, maybe someone would walk in that knew who he was and said, why is he dressed like that? Why is he down, you know, washing others' feet? Why is he acting like a servant? Because he understood what the Father wanted him to do. He understood why he was to wash their feet. He understood that he wanted to teach them what it meant to serve and to be served. Are you ready? Are you willing to serve the way God would have you to serve? If not, why not? It's very simple. Start doing some things that you have never done. Start acting in ways that you have never acted before, making sure that you understand that God is pleased with your action. And when you serve, make sure you don't serve looking for something in return, because you're not going to get it. You may not even get a thank you. You may not even get a handshake. You may not even give a friendly smile, but that's okay. Still serve. And understand who you're serving. It's not necessarily that you're serving that next man, but it's understanding that you're servants of God and that you're serving Him. So He is the one that's going to reward you. So if you're here on this evening and you're a child of God and you have not been serving the way you're supposed to, you have not been answering those calls, you have not been responding to those that need you, start doing so. Get your life in order. Ask God to forgive you. And if you're here and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, you're ready to serve others as you are served by others, we encourage you to come to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, having your sins washed away, added to the Lord's church by the Lord Himself, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.